there we are. I turned it off instead of on. That matters. Let's start this again. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I would love for you to answer me back on Sunday mornings if we could begin that habit. I would love to hear you say that. So let's try it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a wonderful day to be together in the house of God and join together over live stream. Welcome to all of you who have come for this hour of worship. I want to say a special word of welcome if this is your first time worshiping with us. We hope that you've noticed the hugs and the joy that is present in this congregation and that you feel welcomed and that you've had a chance to meet some of the folks sitting around you. We would ask that everyone sign in, whether you're here in the sanctuary or watching us over live stream. The registration pads are in the pews, if you would pass those down and let us know that you were here. And if you're online, if you would click the link in the chat and register your attendance that way, that will give us a chance to know who is worshiping together this morning. And if you're visiting with us and perhaps looking for a place to call your spiritual home, just share an email address or a mailing address with us, and we'll reach out to you and begin that conversation. For those in the sanctuary, there's a QR code on your bulletin that will give you access to links for registering online if you'd rather do that, giving online, sharing prayer concerns. You can use your phones to do that throughout the service if you would like. A couple of announcements this morning that both have to do with games and playing. Our youth will be gathering in Elmington Park this afternoon from 2 to 4 for game day. Watch the weather, though. If it's raining, we'll have to postpone. If you're already connected in the youth group, you'll probably get a text from our youth director, Emily Robbins, letting you know if it's been postponed. But hopefully the weather will cooperate. And then on July 7th, we have an invitation to the congregation to go to the Sounds baseball game together. And if you'd like to get tickets, you can go to our church website, westendumc.org/baseball, to purchase your ticket so that we can just go and have some fellowship and fun and hot dogs together. Finally, we have some really wonderful good news to celebrate together as a family of Christ. Our dear Betty Dobson turned 100 years old on Friday, and her family is here. They celebrated yesterday. So can we sing happy birthday to Betty? Can you play that on the organ? You can play anything on the organ. Ready? Let's sing happy birthday to Betty.
Happy birthday to you.
Gift to our congregation. Thank you. And only at West End would we have four-part harmony. It's beautiful. We continue our journey through the scriptures, exploring images of light. And this morning we hear in the letter to the Ephesians the invitation to allow our hearts to be enlightened by the love of God. So with that invitation, let us continue in a spirit of worship, that the Holy Spirit might lighten our hearts this day.
Thank you. This is the day the Lord has made. Give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. When we are tired, when we are weak, when we don't know how or what to pray, the Holy Spirit goes before us and with us, forming prayers out of our wordless sighs. And God welcomes us with open arms, ready to receive us. So then let us confess our sins together, that together we might experience God's Spirit at work in our midst. God, you have called us to hope. You have called us to a life filled with wisdom, purpose, and inspiration. But too frequently, we fall short of that calling. We settle for quick answers and resist leaving our comfort zones. We fail to care for our neighbors and for ourselves. We rush from one thing to another without pausing to listen for your wisdom and your guidance. Have mercy on us, God. Heal us from our wounds. Fill us with your inspiration, that we might be a people who shine a light on you, that we might be a people who shine your light in the world. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. For those of you in the sanctuary, do that however is most comfortable for you. And those of you online, share greetings of peace with those in your online community or in the space that you're worshiping in. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy with what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through 10 and verse 15 through 19. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chooses us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. I have heard of your faith in Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that, with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he calls you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power. The word of God for the people of God.
I'd like to invite all the children to come forward who are here in the sanctuary. We have blue carpet squares for you to sit on to make sure we're safely distanced. And just come on up, and I'll meet you here. So great to see everybody, and glad to greet those who are joining us from home online. We've got a penguin and a fox, and I think that's a bear and a butterfly. Whoopsie, y'all right? And an alligator and a raccoon, all sorts of animals to choose from. Good morning. I'm so happy to see you all. So in our Bible reading this morning, it talks about God and God's love. And I want to be able to love people like God loves people. And so I thought about what it would be like if I had a pair of glasses that helped me see with God's eyes. They're a little bit smudged. Right now when I look, I see all sorts of different kinds of people. Sometimes I look at people and I think, ooh, that person plays for the other team. I'm not sure I like them so much. Ooh, that person looks different from me. I don't know about them. Ooh, that person's wearing a color I don't like very much. But if I want to see with God's eyes, I need to work on that. So I'm just going to spray a little prayer and reading the Bible and maybe spending time with people who love God and maybe doing kind things and sharing. Let's see what happens. I wipe my glasses. Okay. Oh, that helps so much. And now I look at each one of you, and I look at each person out there, and I can imagine in my mind all the people who are watching online, and I see you're a child of God, and you're a child of God, and you're a child of God, and you're all made in the image of God, and you're all so loved by God. And that helps me maybe treat people a little better, don't you think? Look at this. I found this yesterday as I was getting things ready. This little cloth for cleaning my glasses says, "Help us to see clearly." And that's my prayer today. So let's pray together. Gracious God, there are lots of reasons why we don't see people the way you do. But you look at each and every person. You look at me, you look at these children here, you look at everyone in this sanctuary with eyes of love. Help us to do the same. In Jesus' name, amen. It's so good to see you all up here. If you want to take these carpet circles and put them on top of the giraffe, that will help us clear the space. I want to thank Peter Bigelow for reading that very dense scripture passage this morning. There was a lot of words there. And the beginning of the letter to the Ephesians is very dense. In fact, if we had heard it in Greek, which of course we wouldn't have asked you to read it in Greek, but it would have been basically two sentences. The whole chapter is basically two sentences. So you might try to read it all in one breath, but you would run out of breath. There's a lot that the writer of Ephesians wants to say at the beginning of his letter. He starts off with this great doxology, this praise of what God has accomplished in Christ Jesus, that through Jesus Christ, God has already begun reconciling the whole world to God's self. It's already accomplished, he announces. And I would invite you, if you are so led, to spend some time just poring over those first verses of Ephesians. They really do feel like a song of praise. But then the writer turns personal. He begins to speak as a pastor to the congregation or to a group of congregations. And the first thing he says to these Christians to whom he's writing is, I've heard about you. There's nothing bad. I haven't heard of bad things that you're doing. No, I've heard good things. But you notice he doesn't say, I've heard about all the numbers of people you have coming to church now. No, that's not what he says. He doesn't say, I've heard about how your budget's growing every year. No, he doesn't say that. I've heard about the great programming you have for children and youth and adults. No, he doesn't even say that. He says, I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and of your love. You've got a reputation of love. What congregation wouldn't want to hear that? It's one thing to be known for the size of your church or the size of your programs, but to be known for your love, I think that's something every congregation would hope for. And I want you to know that every now and then I get a letter or an email or a phone call. I've heard about what West End is doing and in your anti-racism statement and some of the ways that you're working to keep that conversation going. Can you tell me about that? I had a pastor from Virginia call me and say, I've heard that you all had a discernment team and that you changed your wedding policy to include all members of your church. Can you tell me about that journey and can you help my congregation? I've heard that your congregation has a partnership with the middle school in Nashville. Can you tell me what that's like and how you all partner with that school? My hope is that as a congregation, we might be receiving letters like that, notes like that. I've heard about your love. But then the pastor, the writer of the letter, moves on. He says, I've heard about you. And then he says, and I'm praying for you. I hold you in my prayers. And I pray that your relationship with God continues to grow and to grow and to transform you so that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened. Now, what does he mean by that? I'll confess, I'm not really sure. I'm not sure I can speak for the letter writer to know exactly what he meant to those churches, but I can tell you what his words mean to me. What I hear him saying is, I pray that your relationship with God will help clean the lenses through which you look at the world, and that you will get more and more clarity as you look upon the world with love, that you will be able to see all of the world as God's beautiful creation, that you will be able to see every person as a beloved child of God and act accordingly. But that's not easy. Our lenses get clouded up with all sorts of muck that keep us from seeing other people clearly as God would see them. All you have to do is spend a few minutes on social media and you see how quickly people are labeled and categorized. There are labels that we're born with. There are labels that we take on willingly or not throughout life. Things that cause us to look at other people with scorn, to want to cancel them, holding them responsible for things that they have said and done, not giving people an opportunity to grow and change. I'll never forget a conversation I had a few years ago. at Riverbend Maximum Security Prison. My previous church used to be very deeply involved at Riverbend, and there are some folks at West End who joined us from time to time to serve a holiday meal to the men in Unit 5 and 6. And we served the meal, and then we would sit with the men and talk, and then we would spend some time singing Christmas carols. But I was sitting next to a man who's probably in his late 30s, and he'd been in prison since he was 19. Because one afternoon, he made a bad choice. He went with a group of friends who were going to go on a joyride. And things got out of hand, and someone robbed a gas station, and a person was shot. And even though this man himself didn't have a gun, he got included in that whole event and was sentenced to 25 years in prison. And he said, you know, I feel like my whole life, my whole person is defined by that one bad decision. For the rest of my life, I will be a convict, an inmate, and I'll never live it down. That's an extreme version, but we have that tendency, I think, to label people for the worst thing they've done or for the best thing they've done, or to label ourselves as such. Which brings me to the other piece. I think we're invited to try and put on the glasses of God and look at the world through the lens of love. But then let's change from glasses to a mirror. What do you see when you look in the mirror? Do you see right away a beloved child of God, loved just as you are? Not because of what you do or what you've accomplished, but just because you are? St. Gregory of Nyssa in the 4th century talked about this image of the mirror, that each one of us has within us the image of God. We are all created in the image of God, but our mirrors get clouded over. We're born into this world with stuff already on our mirrors, patterns in our families, and over time with the wounds and the labels that we take on, it gets harder and harder to see that within us there is the image of God. I don't know about you, but I know in my head that God loves me. I really believe in my mind that God loves everyone unconditionally, just like our t-shirts say, that each one is created in the image of God, including me, that God loves me. But really, the way I live and act in the world, it seems as if I don't really believe that. That what I really believe is that God loves me in a general benevolent sort of way, kind of in the distance. But God doesn't really have time for my stuff. That there's so much other stuff going on in the world that my things, I don't want to bother God with those things. And sometimes that keeps me from having this sort of direct, intimate relationship with God that I believe God wants with me. I know people through conversations over the years as a pastor who believe in their heads that God loves me and God loves everybody, but who walk around with a God who judges them for everything, a God whom they can never please no matter how hard they try. What is your default position for God? When you examine your life and your heart and you look in the mirror, do you see clearly your belovedness? Or do you still feel like you're trying to please a God who cannot be pleased? Or you're trying to reach a God who is too busy for you? Hear this letter from the writer of Ephesians. Hear this prayer. Even now, over the centuries, he is praying for us as God's people that we would come to know the truth about God, that God loves each and every one of us just as we are, that all of these false voices are not God, that we are invited to see the image of God in ourselves and in each and every other person. But that is a journey of cleaning off those glasses, of cleaning off the mirror. And sometimes things stick back on there that we need to wipe off again. It's the spiritual journey, learning to love as God loves, love others, and love ourselves. And what helps us on that journey? Each other. Prayer, reading the scriptures, being part of a community of faith where other people can reflect to us, I see God in you. Who can encourage us to love more fully? A community with whom we can practice loving and forgiving and showing mercy and offering people a second and third and fourth chance. It's a journey. But as the writer of Ephesians says, it's already been accomplished in Christ Jesus. We are all completely loved already. May the eyes of your heart be enlightened so that you will know the hope to which you have been called. If we are loved and we know the love of God for all people, that is the foundation of our hope. So, my friends, look in the mirror today and see the image of God. Amen.
As bearers of the image of God, let us rise in body or in spirit as we affirm our faith together. Number
883. We are in
God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share your prayer requests with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website, or you can fill out a prayer card in the pews and place it in the offering boxes at the back and to the side of the sanctuary. This morning, we remember Mark and Nancy Deaton and their family. They are mourning the death of Mark's mother, Carol Airy Deaton, who passed away on June 20th in Martinsville, Virginia. The service was held on June 25th, and the burial took place on June 26th in Aberdeen, North Carolina. We also want to remember Daryl and Jeannie Watson and their family. They're mourning the loss of his grandmother, Louise Watson, who passed away on July. I don't remember which date it is, but she passed away at the age of 90 in Paris, Tennessee, and a service was held yesterday, July 10th, in Dover, Tennessee. She is also survived by West End members Aiden and Miles Watson. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of vision and God of wisdom, you have invited us to open the eyes of our hearts to your grace, to the joy of being part of your family. A family in which all are welcome, all are celebrated, all are given opportunities to grow in love and grace as we draw closer to you. Great God of heaven, we give you thanks for the glorious riches that you lavish upon us as your children. We are indeed grateful to be part of your family. O Lord of our hearts, you lead us to open the eyes of our hearts to your love and to your peace. Through the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, you offer comfort and healing to those who are sick, those who are grieving, those who are anxious, and those whose hearts are heavy. We lift all of these up to you this day. And we trust that whether they are waking or sleeping, you are ever with them, and your presence is their light. O ruler of all, you have called us to open the eyes of our hearts to a vision for our world in which everyone has enough food, enough health care, enough education, enough work. You have called us to seek dignity and wholeness, justice and peace for all people and for all of creation. Grant wisdom to our local, regional, and national leaders that they might make policies that care holistically for all people and for our planet. And guide us that through our words and actions, we might live into the hope to which you have called us. Heart of our own hearts, be our vision and be our wisdom as we follow your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings this morning, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give via the options listed on the screen or in the chat. And for those here in the sanctuary, there are offering boxes at the narthex at the back of the sanctuary and to the side in Reed Hall, where you can leave your offering following the service. Let us now offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
Thank you.
Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have come, my friends. And God's amazing grace goes before us as we go out into this world. We will never reach the depths of God's grace, but we will keep striving to receive it and to share it with a world that needs it so desperately. Go in peace. Amen.